And I know that you have all that listen to us, you have heard us talk about Veterans Court on the show before, and Jay has talked about Veterans Court. I know that we're huge advocates for it. Jay is an advocate for it. But we've never talked to anybody that's ever been through Veterans Court before, and we're going to do that today on Veterans Friday, and that is actually my brother, my Travis.
Hey.
He's been there, he's done it, and what better way to, you know, right now this is only going on in Trail County and Cass County, and this is something that I know a lot of us would like to see.
It's actually going statewide. On in Grand Forks County, but it's statewide.
Or Grand Forks County.
But all veterans across the county or across the state can attend to it, and then we'll be having it down here in Cass County. It goes, the court stands up in August of 26.
Okay, so Tony, why don't you kick it off first? What is Veterans Court exactly?
It's a chance for veterans, specifically, and the main criminal focus of it is drugs and alcohol. Those that have had a hard time adapting and have turned to drugs and alcohol as a way of coping mechanisms and have gotten into legal issues and have nowhere to turn. And so they've just constantly turned to drugs and alcohol, or not constantly, but the drugs and alcohol may have gotten them into some troubles. And so Veteran Treatment Court is veterans helping veterans, and it is a minimum of a one-year long court, and it helps the veteran get focused and realize that there's a team of people that are there to help them and see that new path forward. We get many of them service-connected that aren't already. We get many of them into mental health counseling. We get many of them into the VA healthcare system, and it's just a whole team behind them and letting them know that there's a sober future out there mm-hmm. for them.
And there's one thing that you said in that whole statement, Tony, and it's veterans helping veterans.
It's because we get each other.
You get each other. You've been there with each other. You can relate with each other. Jail is not a place for our veterans for the simple fact they can't get help there. And we're talking non-violent crimes. We're not talking
No sex crimes,
no violent crimes, nothing like correct. That. Because a lot of veterans, they go to drugs and alcohol to cope with what they've been through. Police officers, jail guard, what do you call them, Ronnie? My mind is blank right now.
Corrections officers.
Thank you, correctional officers.
Yes, yeah.
They haven't been there. They can't relate to a veteran. Some of them, I mean, unless they have, you know. Therapists, go get therapy. They can't relate to a veteran. It's veterans helping veterans.
Exactly.
And that's what Veterans Court is.
And as mentors, our role as mentors is just to be there to listen to them, mm-hmm. to encourage them, to provide some guidance, to coach. And, you know, if they do have a relapse, it's just to encourage them to be honest with the court. And it's not an automatic you're going to jail kind of thing, right?
Right.
It's be honest with the court. What can we do? How can we help you get back on track kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, and Janae mentioned, you know, there are certain things that you have to, I don't want to say you have to be a certain kind of offense to be eligible. Like you said, the nonviolent crimes, all those kind of stuff. But there may be people asking, well, is this a get out of jail free card? It's not. You are put under a stringent amount of metrics that you have to meet in order to stay in this program.
100%. You got to plead guilty first and foremost, right? So it's not that part of it. You have to plead guilty. So it is a guilty plea on your record.
Yeah.
But it's many of these times the veterans, you know, would be done with their case and their case would be closed out long before they're done with the Veteran Treatment Court. Yeah. It's for those guys, those veterans, those guys and gals, I should say, those people that want help and want to move forward and get off the path that they're currently on.
Absolutely.
So, brother, Trav, it's kind of weird when you're talking to your brother on it, you know, interviewing your brother. you've been there.
Sure have. It took me longer than a year.
yeah, you were on it longer than a year.
It's a minimum of a year, Trav.
Minimum. Yeah. Trav found himself in a predicament.
Yeah, you know, I just like drinking and driving around. And after a while, the state of North Dakota says, you got to do something, and they should. So I was in trouble for that. And Veterans Treatment Court was an option.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anything to stay out of jail, right? That's everybody's mentality going into it. Whatever you can do to stay out of prison, right? That's. I don't care what story they give you when guys get into that, or women. I'm not going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you start kind of getting with the program, right? You start figuring it out. So.
His journal entries, every veteran's got to put in journal entries weekly and then an essay usually. And Travis had some very jaw-dropping journal entries, and that's between him and the court, right? But when these veterans start seeing that clear path, especially after about that 4, 5, 6 months of clean thinking, and they start realizing that, hey, there is a better way, and they start putting their thoughts down onto paper, I mean, there's been more than one time that everybody has teared up, and Judge Hager up there, you know, he asked Travis, if I may share this, he asked Travis, sure. He says, do you have a drinking problem or a driving problem? You know, right? So the judge is very lighthearted with this stuff, and
yeah.
It's not a come in there and bang the gavel kind of thing. The judge really gets to know each and every one of these veterans, and he finds something with each veteran that he can relate to one-on-one with them and have this personal interaction.
Which is
and
great.
And the judge is only wearing his robe because it's a court, right? Many of times when they get down to take pictures for advancements in the phases or graduations, he takes off his robe so that it isn't he's another figure in that picture versus, you know, oh, there's the judge, right, kind of thing. And so Judge Hager has been the best thing that could have ever happened in this court. And Kim Higgs, our court coordinator, just a phenomenal lady. I mean, she gets to know every single one of our veterans very well, and she can understand these situations. And so I've been blessed with being part of the court from the stand-up on this as once the court went live. I wasn't behind the scenes getting it going, but I can say I've been behind the scenes on getting the one going down here in Cass County.
Yeah, in Cass County.
And so I'm looking forward to taking everything that I've learned from the current court that we got going on, and I'm looking forward to Travis being a mentor either for Grand Forks or for Fargo until we get it going further out west out there as well. So Travis brings a lot of real-life stuff to the court, and so he is going to provide a lot of guidance for our mentees that will be going through the program. And that's the difference. We're mentors and mentees, right?
Yeah.
The veterans going through it are mentees.
Are you going to be a mentor, Trav?
Yeah, you know, I finished the training up beginning of last month. So I haven't really started yet. It's been kind of a crazy month for me, but we'll get going on that. And because the deal is there's people in this court that takes place in Grand Forks, but they live in Minot and Bismarck.
Yep.
So to have a mentor closer out there would be beneficial. But you can do a lot through technology. Tony and I didn't really ever see each other when he was my mentor, but to talk to you every day if you needed it.
Yeah. And I would like to see it across the state.
Judge
I would
Hager's
love to see
is,
this across the state.
Judge Hager's due to retire, I think, at the end of next year, maybe. But his goal, he said, is before he passes, before he's done living, he wants to see this in all five of the major cities. And I think I brought that up last week. And every time we talk about this, he wants to see it in all the five major cities. Well, we're 2 out of 3 right now. So we're making progress on that part of it.
And the way we do that is we keep talking about it. We keep bringing awareness to it. And I can see, obviously, I've known my brother my whole life. And I have seen a difference. And I think our whole family has seen a difference in Travis since he's been through Veterans Court. You know, and thriving. He's the VSO in Sheridan County.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, he's helping veterans he's known his whole life out there since he was little, you know. But.
And Travis, talk a little bit about that. I mean, you know, obviously we know what you've been through, what you explained, but the part now where you want to help other people get through similar issues, I mean, that's really got to be meaningful for you.
Yeah, it is. Excuse me. You owe it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the service in general, right? Everybody thinks that we owe it to our nation, to the people we serve with, we owe them something.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people need more help than other times.
Yes.
That's a veteran, right? Because veterans, they're in the military to help their country. That's what they want. And then you guys get out of the military, and you still continue to want to do that. You're still like, I want to do this for
you. You're always standing there fighting for the guy or gal next to you. You know, you're standing up for your brother or sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get off from active duty or off from a deployment, and you've got those brothers and sisters around you 24/7. Then you go home, and they're not there anymore. So where do you go?
And that's, I think, not just Veterans Corps, but other things for our veterans. I think we're getting better with what's available, right, to help our veterans. I think that things are getting much better than what they were. I think there's still a lot more that can be done. Ronnie and I, that's why we're such huge advocates. We use our show to try to get things out for our veterans. But I think that there's just so much more that we can do. And, you know, you look at the organizations like the Brady Oberg Legacy Foundation. They're wonderful. They lost Brady, you know. I can be there for my brother as much as I can be there, right? And Trav knows that. I can listen to him talk, and I'll be there as much as I can, but I can't help him like a veteran can help him. Or you, Tony. You know, you veterans need to help each other through stuff.
Yeah, we can't understand.
And it's so easy for people to say, he's messed up. He needs therapy. It's so easy for people to... I'm serious. It's so easy for people to say that, and that's not how it is at all.
Nope. They can't, veterans are having a shitty day.
They can't go talk to a regular therapist about stuff because that therapist, they have no clue what a combat veteran has lived.
Correct.
100%.
And that's the thing, like, between Travis and I, when we're saying we're having a shitty day, we don't have to give our background. We get it. There's no background needed, right? And so it's just, yeah. No, I get it. His experience might be a little bit different than mine, might be a little bit different than his. But we've been there. We've done that. We've all gone through basic trainings. We've all gone through the, you know, be there at 7 o'clock for a 9 o'clock formation because somebody was late once for the 9 o'clock formation. So everybody's got to be there 5 minutes. You know, everybody's got to be there 2 hours early now to make sure that nobody's 5 minutes late, right, kind of thing. And so that's the kind of stupid stuff that we understand and realize. And so when he says I'm having a shitty day, I get it, right? Yeah. I can just say I get it. Sorry about that.
Well, there's just a lot of things that you can't talk to people that aren't veterans about, right? You just can't. It's almost too disturbing for them.
It is. You can't talk about war.
Right? So you can't. People can't relate to you on that level at all. And the only therapist that really helped me was somebody that had been. And he got a PhD and, you know, became a therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't, you know, and you know, like, and then we talk about substance abuse, right? So go to an AA meeting and see what happens when a veteran says, well, it's time to share. Like, everybody will tell their drinking story, right? Mm-hmm. I began drinking this way. This is why. And this is that, this and that. And you can't tell your story at that AA meeting, right? You can't tell that story, what's going on through your head. It's too disturbing for everyone.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you can't. And to be, because this is really what it is for a combat veteran. And I'm going to say, you can't talk about, you know, somebody you killed.
No.
You can't bring that up in an AA meeting.
No. No. And that's why Veterans Court
is important. And expect them to understand.
And that's why Veterans Court is important, because a lot of things that people are getting into legally, drinking and driving, drug use, that type of stuff, they're secondary conditions to probably a primary condition of PTSD, mm-hmm. right? And so the drinking is being caused by that. Or I remember we had one guy in Veterans Court who had been injured pretty substantially, and he was given opioids for treatment for years.
For the injury.
And then all of a sudden, the opioids, they're not being prescribed anymore. Mm-hmm. So now he's finding it on the street through heroin or whatever.
Yeah.
And then getting into legal problems over that. These people don't belong in jail.
No.
And they do need to go through some maybe retraining. That's probably what Veterans Treatment Court can be thought of a little bit more of. But they don't belong in prison.
They can't get help in prison.
No, not at all.
Very few get help in prison.
How can you? Because, like we've been sitting here saying, a veteran needs to help a veteran. A civilian cannot help a veteran.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what Veterans Court also says is it's finally a bit of an understanding that the events that some of these combat veterans have gone through had a very traumatic effect on who they are, their persona, their well-being, et cetera. And as a result of that effect, they maybe have gone to things like substance abuse, et cetera. But that is an acknowledgement of that, and also lending a hand out to, we got you. We can bring you back.
100%. Yeah, you know, something that really hit home to me was a few years after I'd been home, my sister says, you don't have that smile on your face anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that does bring that smile back to my face is my job at Cass County, being a veteran service representative, helping veterans, and Veteran Treatment Court, because seeing their success and knowing that at whatever level, I was just there to help show them that, hey, I've been there too. Mm-hmm. There is a way out of this. And so you can do this. You put in the hard work. We'll be there to stand beside you and guide you and help you. And then you can take this for and lead other veterans when your time comes along the way. And you can provide guidance for veterans that are just coming into it. Even though you're still in the court, you've now got seniority in there, and you can take that seniority and lead them and encourage them themselves. And so that's the nice thing about Veteran Treatment Court is, once it gets up and running, gets a couple of years under its belt, it produces its own mentors, right?
Because
that's what they want, is graduates from this program, because they've lived it, they've been it, they're a walking success of what this court has done.
And continue helping other veterans.
100%.
And Tony, you mentioned a little bit of this last week, but it also offers for the people who are veterans, you know, things that maybe people who aren't veterans can't understand. The metrics that you have to meet, the details, it offers you that service-oriented. You have to meet these requirements just like you would have had within the military structure in order to come to the end and achieve this.
100%. Yep, 100%, exactly.
Let's take a quick break, listen to weather, and then we'll come back and we'll keep talking. And then listeners, too, if you guys have any questions, I know Tony and Travis would answer them. 701-293-9000.
Good morning, the Coffee Club. 1027. Dean Wysocki has a look at weather before we continue about Veterans Court on our Veterans Friday. Dino, what do you got?
Thank you, Wysocki. You're listening to Janae and Ronnie, 1028. We've got Tony Baker in with us, working at the Cass County Veteran Service Officer, Veteran Court Mentor. Travis with us. He is the VSO in Sheridan County. He's a Veterans Court alum.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Alum.
It is.
Because there's a graduation.
There is.
You graduate.
Cake and all.
Well, and we should say... you know, a very gracious thank you to you, Travis, because the whole idea behind the court is that you go through this, you can remain anonymous, and we had to do a lot of cajoling, but we were able to convince you to come in and share your story about what it's like to go through this program and come out on the other side, and then being in the position you're in now to want to assist other veterans as well.
So. Yeah, well, it's an important subject, and people need to know it's out there. It needs to grow. People need to be aware.
I agree.
You know, funding for it needs to be pushed through our legislators for these courts, these specialty courts. There's other ones besides Veterans Court. They're needed. But particularly the Veterans Court needs to grow across North Dakota. Because it's hard attending court when you're in McCluskey, North Dakota, and you got to go to Grand Forks.
Yeah.
Those turn and burn days, you know, be in Grand Forks at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Then back home at night. But it's important, and I'm not ashamed of it, you know.
Yeah.
Do the consequences, right? You know, that's the thing veterans have a hard time with. They have a hard time with two things: asking for help and understanding their consequences, right?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because they go into a job where the consequence probably is their life.
Right.
So you're going to hold this consequence of the law against them, and they're just not going to, a lot of times, that's not a deterrent, right? Because if you're willing to go through a door where somebody's trying to kill you on the other side and be the first one through that door, you're probably not worried about getting pulled over by the sheriff when you're driving home drunk, yeah. Right? You don't have that characteristic in you anymore. And Veterans Treatment Court helps you understand that. It helps you go through, you know, all those processes of yourself. And it's a big deal. And I think everybody's better coming through it, like way better.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, tell us a little bit about that, you know, the funding piece and the fight that we had. And I know on the afternoon show, Jay Thomas show, we've talked to Justice Constance Cleveland a little bit about Veterans Court and fighting for funding.
So I don't really get too much into the weeds on that. Yeah. I know it's all done through our legislation and everything, but you know, when we were talking about graduation a little bit earlier, that's all funded privately by donations, right? We're 501c3. And so all the graduations, all the cakes, all the certificates and everything like that are done by private donations. And so with Fargo starting up here very soon as well, and with Grand Forks going, you know, they can reach out to me at the Cass County Veterans Office. And if they want to make a donation to the one starting up here in Fargo, by all means, let me know. If we want to make a donation to the one in Grand Forks, by all means, let me know. I'll be happy to make sure that those donations go to the right court.
So is the Veterans Court the 501c, or is it through the county VSO office?
No, the courts are their own 501c3.
It is their own okay.
Yeah, and again, we're getting into the weeds on that. And everybody that's sitting at home, Janae just raised her hand to ask me a question. I don't know if you can see that or not, but it was pretty funny.
Yes,
She raised her hand. I thought it was pretty funny.
And then we did get a question. is Veterans Court in other states. And I think other states do have it, right?
The only state that does not have it is Vermont. And that's a very small state. So we were the 49th state to get this. Yeah. And it was by Judge, I'm going to screw up his name, Judge Russell, I believe his name was, out in Buffalo, New York. And it's a phenomenal story. So just Google Veteran Treatment Court beginnings, and it's a phenomenal story.
Well, and the point I was making with Judge Cleveland is there was a little bit of a fight in the last legislative session to get funding. But my understanding is we were able to do that. We were able to get it to Cass County.
And I want to, you know, go after all of our legislators that are listening. We want to be a very veteran-friendly state here in North Dakota, and they brag about being a veteran-friendly state. Let's make that happen. Let's get this funding happening for these courts, because the numbers are astounding on the success of this court. And if you keep, for every person you keep out of jail, it saves the counties and the state thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's phenomenal. And again, it's all volunteers that do that, run this court. The judge volunteers his time. The only two paid positions are, and they're both part-time, is the mentor coordinator and the court coordinator. Those are the only two part-time paid positions. Everybody else, the mentors are all volunteer. The judges volunteer, the prosecutors volunteer, and the defense attorneys volunteer.
And we are a state, I believe, that has a number of veterans, one of a few that has a lot
of veterans. We have a lot of veterans in North Dakota.
Yeah, compared to our compared to our population, it's
pretty
high.
Right.
Yeah, per capita.
Per capita,
I mean, even, Travis, do you know, even in Sheridan County, I mean, it's a tiny county, and there's how many veterans?
There's 1,200 people in the county, and there are 85 veterans there.
Large percentage.
Yeah, it's a large percentage. Yeah. We've got a lot of veterans in the state.
Phenomenal.
So how can we, as the public, help get this Veterans Court as much as we can? I mean, we can donate.
We can donate.
Keep talking about it.
Pay attention to your legislation when these courts are on there. Voice your opinion on getting these taken care of. And not just veteran court, but the other courts that Travis brought up earlier. These specialty courts do work. I have watched it and seen it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does everybody graduate and is everybody successful? No, but it's significantly higher than sitting in jail. The very few are successful coming out of jail, right? Yeah, I never want to come back there again, but they're right back in there again.
Well, and to the point you made too, you know, ultimately if you do graduate, you want those people, because of their understanding of the situations, to be mentors themselves. And it takes just one, and then you will have that one person helping other people, and they won't be a ward of the state or part of the system, if you will. So it's a self-sustaining thing.
Well, exactly, Ronnie. And the other thing is that I would say 100% of these guys, their treatment is paid for through the VA.
Yes.
Right? So it's not a cost. It's less draining on the state and county governments with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just kind of it's what we should be doing. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know.
So Kim, the court coordinator, is texting me as we speak.
Okay.
Sergeant Brandt's first book on trauma, PTSD, was good for me to read, she said. He speaks about having a therapist who has that lived experience and going to the Veterans Outreach Centers. Yes, we are retraining. California has veterans pods in their prisons. So they are making progress in all these different states, right? She goes, North Dakota Association of Drug Court Professionals is our 501c.
Okay.
So it's the North Dakota Association of Drug Court Professionals. And it was, I did get the name right. It was Judge Russell in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
2008.
Okay.
And like you both have been saying, Travis and Tony, you know, obviously we want to do this for the veterans. The veterans want to do it for their loved ones. Their families make it through this. And we also want to do it for the 22 we lose every day.
And that number is making progress.
That number is hot.
We're down to the last number that I heard from the VA. And yes, we're still losing veterans, but from 22 to 18 a day. So there is progress in the right direction.
That number is going down.
The number's going in the right direction.
I didn't know that.
The more
Kim texted, said there's over 5,000 veterans in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot of veterans.
And the more veterans that can go through these things, the more we can save and, you know, give them back some of their life as well.
Correct.
So. Absolutely. Like, how many, you guys have both heard me say it, if we send them, we got to mend them, right?
Exactly.
And this is actually a program that is helping do that.
100%. And the Vietnam veteran that we have today, or the Vietnam veterans, we can thank for the VA that we have today, because many of them came home and said, you broke us, now fix us. Mm-hmm. A lot of them went off and did their own thing. A lot of them turned to drugs and alcohol and work, right? There's the alcoholic, the drug addict, and the workaholic, right? But there was many of them that said, you broke us, now fix us. And so the veteran today, the ones that have served in the most recent conflicts and wars, can thank the Vietnam veteran for the VA that we have today. And we have a handful of Vietnam veterans in our court or that have graduated this court and
really
have been successful. And they said, this is the best thing that they've seen. So
okay. Yeah,
we're making progress. Is it as fast as we'd like? No, I mean, government's involved. So it's always a slower than the wheels of justice almost. Right.
Okay. We got another question. I'm getting this on my phone and I got to put my password in here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, are there any federal dollars for Veterans Court?
Kim Higgs, is there any federal dollars? Please text me really quick.
Yeah, I know.
Because there should be.
Right?
Yes, there should be federal money for this.
Yeah, I know we fought and I believe finally got some state dollars to start the one in Cass County.
I believe that's how it's funded. Again, like yeah. I said, I haven't gotten in a whole lot of weeds on that part.
Right.
I mean, my passion has been towards helping the veteran and guiding the veteran and on the mentor part of it, right?
And all the treatment is federally funded, right? It's all going through the VA, so it's all federally funded treatments.
Sure.
You know, the therapy, whatever treatment center they go to is generally picked up by the federal government.
Grants are available, she replied. Grants are available, but we are currently not using them right now. So
okay.
And again, and Ronnie, I know you too, because we've all talked about this. I would love to see this across the state. Mm-hmm. Grand Forks, now Cass.
Major cities, so it's accessible no matter where
right,
you
let's
are.
Let's see it in Bismarck, Minot, Williston. Because like Trav said, when you're living in McCluskey, it's, Grand Forks is a jaunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close.
And thankfully, with today's technology, most of our veterans are able to attend via Zoom.
Sure.
But there's one week a month or one court session a month they have to be in person.
Because I remember you'd have to go up there.
Oh, yeah.
But thankfully, through modern technology of Zoom and then cell phones, a lot of us veterans keep in contact, or a lot of our mentors and mentees keep in contact just with text messaging, because it is really easy and you don't have to get on the phone necessarily. You can check in and say, hey, I'm having a good day or I'm having a bad day. Do you have some time to talk? And then we can get together and talk. And then, all those words can be said that need to be said, right? So, mm-hmm.
And I really love and just, it's veterans helping veterans. Mm-hmm. Like I said, and you can't just send a veteran to a therapist. That's not going to help them.
So her follow-up on that, she goes, we are all state-funded, thankfully. Yes, treatment is federally funded, but they can opt for community care as well through the VA. If okay. we can get these veterans service-connected, which we can get many, many of them mm-hmm. service-connected, did not know that they had that option. So,
well, Tony, if those listening out there, because we're running short on time here, where can we find more information? Or if we want to participate in donating to the 501c3 to continue this thing going off the ground, where do we do that?
The biggest, I guess I would say, go to the North Dakota Association of Drug Courts or look on North Dakota Specialty Courts.
Okay.
I know Kim will probably be texting in here something very soon, and I'll make sure that we get that out so that you can put that on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
On contacting, but always reach out to me at the Cass County Veterans Office, 701-241-5752. I'll be glad to help and pass out any information. If you have a loved one, a veteran that may benefit from this and you're listening, reach out to us and I can put you in contact with those personnel, with Kim Higgs, our court coordinator. And
there's an application process.
Yep, there is an application
process. Okay,
so that's something we didn't even talk about, because Veterans Court is very new.
Yes.
Trav, you were one of the first ones to go through it.
Pretty close, yeah.
How did you know about it?
I was looking for a way to stay out of jail. And so I was looking out on the web to find a way to do that. And I found that way. And I told my attorney, hey, this is what we need to do. And then everybody said, fine. The prosecutor obviously said, fine. Prosecutors are generally supportive of this. Mm-hmm. So then I did it. But, yeah, I searched out myself. And I think any veteran service officer out there, if you want to know more about it, can get a hold of Tony and I, too, or probably knows about it themselves. The attorneys need to know what the application process is, because there can't be any sentencing done until you're accepted.
Right.
Because if you're not accepted, then that sentencing is probably going to go a different direction.
Right.
ndcourts.gov, and find other courts and click on the Veteran Treatment Court, and that's everything is broken down. But if you're a family member listening and you've got your veteran is in a North Dakota jail or a North Dakota jail right now, reach out to their attorney, reach out to me, and
yeah,
I can put you in touch with Miss Kim Higgs, who has been texting me throughout this whole interview, giving us some vital information. Mm-hmm. And she has all the application information, and she works with that veteran's attorney and finds out if that veteran qualifies. And it is a no cost to the veteran.
Right. And another thing, too, is that sometimes when you're listening, it's hard to write things down and remember things like that. You can always get a hold of us here on the show, and we know who to contact you to.
Exactly.
So we can put you in that direction. I think this was a great segment, learning all about it. And veterans don't even know about this.
They're starting to.
They're just starting to, and they need to know about it.
Your guys' show is a big part of that as well. But we do put it out there. So thank you very much. And, I mean, this helps, right? And with Travis being out in central North Dakota and being a CVSO out there, he gets the word out. And we have our annual training come up in October on Bismarck, and Kim will be coming out there and talking to all the CVSOs and making them aware as well, and so that she can get and we can get that information out to the CVSOs so that they can talk to the county jails out there and get this word going even more and more and more. And the more demand that we have for it out there, the easier it is to say, hey, we need a court out there as well.
Fantastic. Tony, thank you for your time as always and sharing these stories with us.
Pleasure is always mine.
And, Travis, too. Thank you for coming in and being willing to share your story.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't. I was actually surprised by it. I said to Tony last week, I said, because we're advocates of this Veterans Court, and I said, I wish I could get Trav to come on and talk about it. Yeah. He said, we can.
Because every time we talk about it.
And it wasn't even hard.
Every time we talk about it, Janae's like, I know somebody that's very near and dear to my heart. And she's like, I'm just going to text him and ask him.
It's emotional for me to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing we want you to understand. I mean, it took a great deal of courage, because the idea behind the program is you can remain anonymous. So it took a great mm-hmm. deal of courage for Trav to be here. And it also takes a great deal of courage to continue to want to help other veterans who have been in your shoes. So thank you.
Kim's final message is she said, Travis, she's proud of you for coming on air and doing this.
Well, it's not for me, right?
Yes.
But sharing your story and spreading your story.
Absolutely. Thank you both, and have a terrific weekend. Wearing your red, as I do every Friday, remember everyone deployed. So thank you for that. Stick around. We got more of the Coffee Club when we come back.
Again, a huge thank you to Travis and Tony for both coming in and talking about Veterans Court. Again, something that veterans don't even know are available for them. So if you have any questions, get a hold of Ronnie or I. We can definitely direct you in the right direction of who to contact.
For sure.
We just, that's what Veterans Friday is about.
It is.
Is we want our veterans to know what is out there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and thanks to Gina and StyleSafe, who does a ton of work with the VA, helping veterans and their families homes safer for veterans with things like walk-in tubs and grab bars and all kinds of other stuff, too. So
yeah. All right, Rocky's in with us.
Yeah, yeah. The downtown hour rapidly approaching.
What are you doing on your show today, Rocky?
Well, you know, Veterans Friday, we've been talking about doing a mural, and we're going after helping Folkways go after a grant for the 250th celebration. They do
our birthday. Yeah.
Birthday, yeah, 250 years. And so we're doing to try to do a memorial kind of grant stuff for a big mural on the side of one of the buildings to honor our
veterans. That'll be great.
Oh, my gosh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there is listening and want to be helpful with that, we'd love to hear from you as well.
Are you looking for what are you looking for?
Fundings, partners. You know, we thought some locations would be good. The VFW, obviously, would be a good partner for us downtown.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, those sort of things. But yeah, we're working on that, and that's kind of a fun thing I wanted to tie into your conversation. But today we have a couple nonprofits on our show. The FM Area Foundation is going to be on and talk about their program. They have a caring catalog going on right now. Then we have United Way and the Coalition to End Homelessness to talk about their efforts right now.
Walking on with that.
I wish I could help you with the painting, but I can barely do watercolor. So it's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a struggle just to get me to color inside the
lines. You know, Ronnie and I, it is known for him and I to have coloring contests on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes if I drink too much and there's snow outside, I go color the snow, but that's
there
as
close
you as go.
Rocky! Yeah. Yeah, speaking of which, isn't there a Halloween pub crawl downtown? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
October 25th. Yeah, right.
Okay, there's a Halloween 25th.
Saying. Yeah, I think it's on the 25th. There's a pub crawl. There's like 9 bars.
Halloween's on a Friday this year, though. Why don't they do it on Halloween?
That's a good question.
It's Friday this year.
I think they're calling it something cool, too, aren't they? Like Crawloween or something like that?
Oh, I did not prep for that, but I will until next week. I'll have that on my show.
Absolutely. All right.
Huh. But yeah, Halloween pub crawls are fun.
Yeah.
Pub crawls are just fun.
Especially when you get to dress up and then you can act more when people can't tell who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's who's on the tables downtown. It's you, Rocky, isn't it?
I'll have to show you the picture. I don't know how you'll feel about me afterwards, but my wife and I did. I was Brainy Smurf and she was Gargamel and Astrea.
I got that. Ooh. I just showed my family that picture last night, Ronnie. It's funny you bring that up.
You wouldn't believe the gallons of blue paint I had to get from Gompf displays to make me blue.
I love it. Yeah. Azrael. Yeah, that's a name that comes back.
Oh, his wife. Ronnie, keep talking. I got to find this
picture.
She
put on the skull cap and had the cat in the background, and I was like, you know.
That was two years ago?
I think it was two years ago.
Rocky, you're going to fall off that chair when you see this. I promise you.
What was the size of the paintbrush you used to put on the blue paint?
So it was body paint, and, you know, we had a little fun, you know, decorating me, if you will.
Yeah.
But it was equally as amount of difficulty showering that stuff off.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it comes off with soap and water, but, you know, let me just say, there's places at 53 I can't reach anymore, and you don't get the blue paint off as fast as you'd think you would.
A week later, you look down in the shower, and there's glue running, and you're like, I don't know where that came from.
Yes, exactly. So...
Oh, I love Halloween. I still have kids that at least one of them lets us dress up with him still.
Yes, so, when you have kids, it's so much fun when you have kids.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the cool thing about downtown, too. There's so many local businesses that offer events for kids where you can trick-or-treat and bring your family.
So that's a good segue. On the Red River Market on the 25th, we have our annual Wish Walk. We do a fundraiser for Make-A-Wish.
Oh!
But all the businesses downtown give out candy, and we put a map together, and then we ask for a goodwill donation to make a wish. But it's fun. We get kids and all. It's just fun to see them in costume, right?
Absolutely.
And it's a Saturday before Halloween, so kids get, you know, I'll spend a lot of money on costumes. It's nice to use it more than once.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm excited to see this.
I remember when, because I was there, Ronnie got up from the table, and somebody said, oh, it just got real.
I feel like this has to go back on your Facebook page again.
Well, and let's just say, you know, the costume I had too. Like, if you, it was warmer that Halloween. If you get sweaty, you have some non-blue spots. I don't know. So, yes,
that's perfect.
It was a lot of blue.
Yes,
let me tell you that. Well, hey, we've got much more of the Coffee Club, and of course, Downtown Hour immediately follows our program. We'll be right back. Good morning. It is the Coffee Club. And of course, it is time to talk a little bit about if you're going to have a fun weekend at the Alibi Casino and Lounge. You can start it at noon. Longest
happy hour
happy,
an hour.
Yeah, noon to 7 p.m. every single day. Baymont Inn and Suites South Fargo is just off University Drive and I-94. Domestic beers, well drinks, just $3.50. Bingo every Tuesday. Meat raffles Wednesday and Thursday. Grab your friends and hang out in South Fargo at the Alibi Casino and Lounge inside the Baymount Inn & Suites.
That wraps it up for Ronnie and I for the week. We'll be back Monday at 8:30. Rocky, you have a really good show. Everybody have an amazing weekend. And it's nice out right now. Go get outside and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. We'll be back Monday again, 8:30. Everybody enjoy your weekend. And remember to always be kind and smile. Peace out.